Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
This is Dare to Dream, the go-to podcast for awakened beings ready to explore ET contact, channeling, and the ancient future path of shamanism. Today's guest is Debbie Solaris, an international traveler and a renowned galactic historian. What if your soul's origins weren't from Earth? Debbie Solaris isn't just an ET contactee. She's a galactic historian who reads the stars and the Akashic records to reveal your true cosmic blueprint. In this episode, you're going to discover the map of your soul and the secrets of humanity's next age. This is one that you do not want to miss. And if you'd like to learn more about her, go to DebbieSolaris.com. And with that, I'm going to bring the amazing Debbie Solaris on to Dare to Dream. It's great to have you back again.
Thanks for having me back. It's always a good time when you and I are together, and we always have a blast. So
absolutely. And my God, you always bring so much information. Before we started, you were sharing that you're more recently getting into the aspect of astrology conjunct what you already do with Akashic records. So I just want to get some clarity. Is this an interplay between galactic astrology and the galactic Akashic records?
Yes, it is. Well, I think astrology is galactic anyway. So it is more the galactic aspects, because if you're doing just a general astrology chart, it's usually based on a planetary astrology. So they're basing it off of just planets in our solar system. But the cool thing about galactic astrology, and I just want to interface just to say that I am not an astrologer. You know, I just have an interest in it. But the galactic astrology goes beyond the planets, so in our current solar system. So it looks at different star systems. It looks at different asteroids, what positions they are in certain houses or certain signs. Yeah. And what does that mean? You know, so it's not only applicable to folks with their natal charts, but it could also be looked at with transits. And a lot of times, you know, the reason why I became interested in this is because I see a lot of correlation. So I'm an Akashic reader, you know, still do Akashic readings for people here and there, but, and I teach how to read the Akashic records. But I teach mostly the galactic records, you know, so it's the galactic Akashic records. So obviously, if the astrology is also galactic, you're going to see a lot of overlays between the two modalities. So
that's interesting. And the reason why I said galactic astrology, because I was thinking when your astrology is done, whether it's Vedic or Western, et cetera, it is about the aspect of your being here on this planet as it reflects to all the stars, the moment and the place you were born. Yeah, so I was wondering, when we go galactic, does that include something else more universal, or does it remain the same, the aspect exactly where we are on Earth?
Well, I feel like, because I've had galactic astrology charts done for myself and my husband, and I feel like it's almost like a snapshot of where you've been before you came to Earth. So it's not really like the entire story of your soul's history. I don't think any of us can capture that in, you know, just a natal chart, but I think the difference between the galactic astrology and, you know, I would say traditional astrology is that it snapshots what star systems were you connected with, you know, where were you at before you decided to come to Earth. So it's more of a snapshot view, not a total view, but still it could be very interesting and very illuminating for folks, you know. So so I always like to include that, you know. So I don't do astrology charts. I'm just basically paying attention to what comes up in the Akashic records. And so I, I, And a lot of times when you're doing Akashic Records readings for people, you are asking for their birth date. That's one of the criteria for accessing their records. So that in itself will give you some insight into that person's, maybe not the entire astrological layout, but at least some insight into their personality or what star systems they might be aligned with, you know. So I have seen trends with certain star systems and certain zodiac signs, you know, in different placements, you know. So, and we can talk about that a little bit more in detail later, but I'm actually doing a study on that because I have seen correlations with that.
Okay, I find that very, very interesting, and I do want to talk about that. So I want to go back to the first point. You're dropping all these seeds of fascination. What is going on astrologically right now? Are there star systems transiting, and what is happening that is important for us to know?
So this was a based on a just a general chart that was, so it was an astrology galactic astrology chart. And so there was certain placements and certain star systems. So that's the nice thing about galactic astrology. It kind of expands further than just the planets. So some of the transits I've seen was Pluto currently is located in the Altair system, which is actually part of Aquila. It's the biggest star system in Aquila. And Aquila is actually the Eagle constellation. It's located very close to Galactic Center. From a so that so Pluto being in Altair, so Altair is the great regulator. It's the home of the Galactic Councils. So Pluto representing the, you know, going into the shadow aspects, you know, delving deep into old traumas. And it's kind of interesting that this location is in Altair, which is in the sign of Aquarius. So Aquarius is, we're moving into the age of Aquarius. So we're seeing some correlations here that, and this is something I've seen in the records, that a lot of us right now, we're like doing massive processing of old traumas, old karmic connections, shadow work. A lot of us are going through massive clearing. And I think this is what this aspect is representing, that, you know, a lot of us have connections with Altair through oversouls or galactic councils, you know, so a lot of us have connections with that because that was the origination of creation in this particular galaxy. So it's interesting that we're seeing the aspect of Pluto, you know, and in Aquarius. So Aquarius is opening us up to the golden age, you know, so everybody has heard the term Age of Aquarius. You know, we've moved past the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius, and it's the coming of the new age, but we have to go through the dark before we get to that light. So, and I think that's a hard lesson for a lot of us right now, because it seems like, you know, just on the world stage right now, things are just, you know, blowing up. I mean, it just seems like, you know, it's going, you know, things are going hell to a handbasket, you know, it's just like crazy, you know. So a lot of things look really dark right now, but there is light at the end of the tunnel, and I think that's what this particular aspect is showing us. And I have more to share, but that's the first thing I noticed with this. It was a chart done just a couple of days ago, so it's still relevant.
Wow, powerful. Thank you for that. I love this added perspective because I agree with you about the world stage and a lot of people, especially sensitives. I mean, regular normies, if you will, muggles are feeling it, but also a lot of light workers are feeling it very difficult to see outside what's going on to sustain hope. I know my message right now very strongly has been you came here to be a light worker, feel the feelings, go for all the feels. But once you've expressed and transmuted, you must get back on board to why you're here because you came with gifts and you came at this time for good reason. And I agree with you. I think everything we're seeing speaks to the shaking up of before the light. In Peruvian prophecy, they talk about the Pachacuti. That means the time of change. That means chaos before the golden era. Then also, there's just so many prophecies that speak to this right now and about what the change can be for us, but that we have to hang in there, that, don't give up. And so, Deb, when you say this is the dark before the light, in this star system transiting that you're seeing, do you happen to notice that there is gold coming down the pike? Is there a way to know that?
So right now with that same those same aspects, we're seeing Lyra. So this is Alephar. This is one of the stars in Lyra, moving into Capricorn. So Capricorn represents hard work. It represents making a plan. So what this is showing us with these concurrent transits is that, we're going to get out of this, but we're going to have to work at it. It's not just going to be handed to us, So we're going to have to do the work. And I love Capricorn. I think it's one of those signs that is underhyped a lot of times. Like a lot of people think Capricorn people are very boring. But one of my favorite singers, Sade, she's a Capricorn, and she's got an amazing voice. She's still performing even today. She's influenced a lot of artists, and she's had some big hits in the 80s and 90s. But she's kind of the representative of the new Capricorn, which is somebody that is, has a lot of beauty, a lot of light, but also is a hard worker. Is not giving up. Is not. Saying, well, I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to give up. I'm not going to, work at this. This is too much for me. The Capricorn energy just keeps plugging away. And I love that it's in Lyra, so this is us returning to the original human template, which is in Lyra, So Lyra was considered to be the home of human consciousness, which is where we all of our genetics and everything that we know being what being human is about came from Lyra. And I love that. I love that that we have a way out, and Lyra is the way out.
And Capricorn gets the job done. Everybody I
Exactly.
know who's a Capricorn, I mean, they're on it with their career. Anything they want to get accomplished, they're the one to go to. And it's
Exactly.
also interesting what you're saying, Deb, because this is 2025, numerology, that's a nine, that's a year of endings. It's also the year of the wooden snake. And what does a snake do when it outgrows its skin? It lets go of its entire skin in one fell swoop by creating that little rip on its face, and then everything comes off of it. Everything is pointing to letting go, letting go, letting go. What doesn't serve you, people, situations, behaviors, etc. It is that time. Everything is pushing us to face in ourselves and in our lives what doesn't belong there anymore, and to have the courage to let go and to trust, as you're saying, Capricorn and Lyra, the great things are coming. The courage, the willing to show up, do these things.
Yeah, totally. And what I love too is that this is another indication that we're letting go of the old Orion, the old and negative Orion templates that we've seen here on Earth. These are old patriarchal systems that have been in place on Earth for millennia, and we're removing that. We're moving past it. We're going back to the original template, which is the Lyra Vega template. And even the Earth Access is actually doing this. My understanding is Earth right now, our North Star is Polaris. Everybody knows that, it's Polaris. But Earth's North Star actually originally was Vega, which is one of the biggest, actually it is the biggest star in the Lyra system, or the constellation. So we're moving back to Vega. So we are literally the Earth axis. One day, I think it's going to be a couple of thousand years from now, Earth's axis is going to align back with Vega. And so this is kind of the foretelling of that movement back to the original human template, where we were all 12-strand DNA and we all had our gifts in line and we were superhuman. And we're moving back to that. And no more playing small anymore. I love what you said about letting go. It's letting go of the old matrix and adopting, new ways of being. So, and the astrology is definitely showing that.
That is very exciting. Are there any other star systems transiting that you're seeing right now that play into the holistic picture of what's going on that you can talk about?
Let me take a look at some of these here. So Canis Major, Sirius A, is aligning with Cancer right now. And I know you're a sun sign Cancer, and I have my Mercury in Cancer, and I think what that re is representing is the return to the heart. So Cancer represents the heart. It represents, the chest area, the heart chakra, and this is another indication of moving past the dark and being guided by our heart and not by our head. It seems like a lot of people always want to logically think things through. And this is a time where logic is not going to serve us anymore. Cancer and Sirius was a system that was very watery. Both Sirius A and Sirius B had very watery planets. I see actually a lot of sun sign Cancers and Pisces people that are very aligned with Sirius A and B. I think this is going to be the port foretelling of the return to the heart, leading with the heart, no longer, making decisions based on logic or what's practical, and this is a bold move, for humanity, at least here on Earth, because we've been trained in patriarchal ways, which is to use your mind, to overthink things, to logically analyze everything. And this is a sign that we can no longer do that, that we have to kind of just take a leap of faith, even if it doesn't seem logical. And I tell my Akashic clients this all the time. Like, I know what I'm telling you doesn't sound logical, but your guides are pointing you in this direction because they're giving you an opportunity to make a change. And it may be scary, it may not make sense, but believe me, you're going to come out smelling like roses in the end. You might go through maybe a little bit of struggle, but in the end, it's going to work out for your highest good. And that's what the Cancer and Sirius is representing for us right now.
Girl, I know what you're saying is the truth because for 2 years I have been talking in line with shamanic prophecy that it is the time for people to make the hardest walk they'll ever have to make from the head to the heart. That also means leaving behind the constructs of corporations, corporate greed, moving into what is for the best for the heart of the earth, for the heart of humanity, and that we have to start living from here, from the Cancerian heart center, in order for there to be peace. But it's part of the rectification that is going on. And I'm amazed and so happy to hear you talk about this astrologically, how it's showing up.
Yeah, no, it's given me a lot of hope actually, because I think like a lot of us star seeds, we see the news, we see stuff that's going on around us. People are crashing out, they don't know what the heck is going on, especially the normies like you mentioned. They're having a hard time right now, and so it's easy to start doubting ourselves and start doubting the mission and start doubting, what am I doing here? So seeing these astrological alignments lately just gave me a lot of hope. I was just like, okay, we're on the right track. We're not on some crazy timeline that's going to lead us to the apocalyptic, ending. It's going to be, we're moving towards the golden age. And another system that I thought was really interesting that came up was the Shapley attractor. So the Shapley attractor is kind of like the place out of time. It's kind of like the Mayan day out of time, the place out of time. And it's aligning with galactic center, which is actually in Sagittarius. Sagittarius 28 degrees, So Sagittarius is actually the center of our galaxy. So if we're having seeing connections to the Shapley attractor or to galactic center, Alpha Centauri is also connected with the Sagittarius right now. That is showing us that we're moving into the galactic age, it's no longer going to be just little Earth. We're all having leading these really mundane lives where we're all kind of isolated here. We're so separated here on planet Earth. We're going to become part of the greater galactic family, and these astrological alignments, along with the Akashic records, are showing us that. It's actually giving us a pathway to it. I mean, that's what's even more amazing. It's even like giving us this. The action steps, if you want to call it that, to get there, so
And
thank you
may
for
I ask
allowing
you?
me to share that.
Oh no, this is huge. And may I ask, when you say, so the next piece that you're seeing is this keeps transiting, and now that's in the future, and you're saying moving into the galactic age. There's a lot of us going, yay. That also coincides with Bashar saying 2026, 2027, there's going to be something unprecedented. And at this point, when Bashar first said that to me, gosh, 3, 4 years ago, nobody else was talking about it. So now all the channels, in their own ways and from their own species, are talking about us becoming part of the galactic community. You seeing this star system transiting in the future, Deb, does that show you how that might unfold, when that might unfold, any particulars that we should be aware of?
Yeah, actually, it was kind of interesting that Alpha Centauri, of all systems, is aligned with Sagittarius, because I kept saying for years that I think the first ET contact that we're going to have in 2028 is going to be with the Alpha Centaurians. It's not going to be with the Pleiadians or the Sirians. We're not quite ready for them yet. I mean, at least Earth isn't. The Alpha Centaurians is actually, Alpha Centauri is actually located, it's our closest neighbor, to Earth. So it's only like 3.7 light years from Earth. So it makes sense that the first contact we'd have will be with the Alpha Centauri, and they're the most like Earth people. So if you were to see an Alpha Centaurian walking down the street, they might be a little taller than normal, but otherwise they look pretty human. I mean, it wouldn't freak us out to connect with Alpha Centaurians. Same with Venusians. I think Venusians might be another group of beings that we'll be connecting with, because they're also located very close. But I think after we have that initial contact, then we're going to move towards interacting with Pleiadians and Sirians and Andromedans and But if people were to see a Pleiadian in person, they would freak out. I mean, Pleiadians are freaking amazing looking. I mean, it's like they're so brilliant, you're just like this, like deer in the headlights, But an Alpha Centaurian, a little more approachable, a little bit more, okay, I can hang with an Alpha Centaurian. This is the kind of being that, I can relate to. I mean, I'm talking about, humanity in general, not specifically as star seeds, but I think most of us will need that soft transition, so to speak.
That is so interesting. 3 years ago, I'm guesstimating the time frame. If you ever need proof, you said this, and I have you on video saying Alpha
All
Centaurians.
right. Yeah.
So I've got the proof. And the other thing is, you're talking about really tall people. And I think that's interesting. I don't know if you've noticed this. I certainly have, that kids are being born taller and taller and taller. I go to events and everybody's 6 foot, 6'5",
I
six.
know.
It's shocking
I
to
know. And
me.
then there's short little petite people like you and me, and we're just like, oh my gosh, I feel like a little munchkin, compared to these tall people.
I do feel like a munchkin. Even if I wear platforms, they are overwhelmingly big. But men and women, they're so tall. And I wonder if that's sort of a preclusion to some of the beings we're going to see. Could be it's preparing us. I don't know. But it
Yeah,
is,
I
all these pieces are interesting when you put them together.
yeah, no, I do believe that a lot of the, especially the Gen Zers and the younger generation, they're coming in with more, I would say, extraterrestrial DNA, because their DNA wasn't as diluted as much by multiple Earth lives. A lot of them have had very few, if any, prior Earth lives to this incarnation. So I do think some a lot of them are coming in with those galactic genetics. I'm just thinking about I did a podcast recently with Sean Kelly, and he's a big podcaster. He's out of Las Vegas, and I was shocked when I met him because he was so freaking tall, and he's young. He's like in his 20s. I mean, I was just like, holy crap! I was like, I feel like a midget, compared to, and I was wearing platforms too. I was trying to make myself taller, and it was just like, oh my God. It's like these young kids are, and my stepson Jackson, I think he's like 6'7", and he's super athletic. He's super smart. I mean, he's probably going to get like a full ride scholarship to Princeton or something like that. I mean, it's like these kids are coming in with all these abilities, So I do agree with you. I think this is a preclusion to these tall aliens that we're going to be interacting with soon.
Oh my God, and I'm going to be one of the ants people.
I know, you and me both.
Dude, and I've seen pictures of Sean Kelly. He's interviewed so many of my friends recently. Yes. And it's
Yeah.
kind of like, this is Sean, and this pen here is my friends. And he's got his arm around them. I mean, he's ginormous, without a
Yeah, he
doubt.
is. He is extremely
Oof.
tall. Extremely tall. I don't know. I thought Ismael Perez was tall, but no, I think he'd even out tall. He's taller than Ismael. So yeah, it's crazy.
Are there specific star systems or are there galactic alignments that are influencing Earth's evolution right now or humanity's evolution?
Yeah, let me take a look at my list here. Yeah, so we also have alignment with Orion, particularly Rigel, which is in the constellation or the I mean, sorry, not yeah, the constellation of Gemini. So Gemini is represents duality consciousness. And it's interesting that our current president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, is a Gemini. So there's all these kind of correlations and synchronicities, and it's just too much to even just be random, anymore. And interestingly enough, Donald J. Trump, I did do an Akashic reading for him, and he is originally from Orion and particularly Rigel. So it's interesting that we're having alignments with Rigel right now. So Rigel represents the home of the Orion Empire. So it represents the old system, the old patriarchal system, the Draconian Empire, the Gray Alien Empire, and Donald Trump originated from there, so he had to fight his way out of Rigel, but just to get somewhere decent, but I think that it is also pointing to the letting go of these old systems, that we are, even though we're aligned with these systems, it's an opportunity to say, okay, we've learned our lessons. We learned lessons of forgetfulness, separation, enslavement, and we're ready to let that go. It's no longer going to be a reality here on this planet, So we're having the opportunity to work with that through Gemini. So Gemini represents, the struggle between light and dark, masculine and feminine, good and evil, a lot of people jokingly say that, Geminis are the worst people to be around, which I don't believe that. My assistant Anne is a Gemini and she's awesome, but
Oh yeah, I have very, very close friends who are Gemini, and my house of relationship is in Gemini. They're so fun and chatty.
yeah, no, I love Geminis. No, they're great people, but I think, just a representation of the system itself is just representing, letting go of not only old systems, but also moving towards oneness, moving, from the Gemini, mental chatter to, the Cancer heart center that we were talking about with Sirius A, so that is, aligned with Earth at the moment. Another system that's aligned with Earth is another system that's very located very close to Earth. It's not as close as Alpha Centauri, but it's called Tau Ceti. And a lot of people have not heard of Tau Ceti. It's in the Cetus constellation, which is the whale constellation. Tau Ceti right now is in Aries. And it's interesting when you think about the Tau Cetians. Like I said, a lot of people don't know about this race of beings. They're a humanoid race of beings. Actually, there's two races in Tau Ceti. So there's the humanoid race, and then there's also the bear race. So they have a bear species that they stand upright. They have somewhat humanoid bodies, but they're quite hairy, kind of like Wookiee in Star Wars. And so I think Wookiee, the concept of Wookiee probably came from a download George Lucas had about, Tau Cetians. So they coexist peacefully, the bear people with the humanoids. So the Tau Cetians were known to be extremely gifted pilots, and they're a great space explorers. They're also known for their love of technology. They are extremely great warriors, kind of like the Aldebaran people. But the Tau Cetians had a really rough history because of they were located fairly close to Zeta Reticuli. They were constantly getting their children abducted by gray, negative gray aliens. And it's interesting that the alignment with Tau Ceti is now in Aries, because what happened is that the Tau Cetians had enough. They were just like, you know what, we're not handling this anymore. We're not doing this anymore. We're gonna So they went to war with the gray aliens and they totally obliterated them. I mean, just, they got their children, they rescued their children back. And this represents the warrior energy. So even though we are moving into heart space, we are becoming spiritual warriors, and that's what Aries represents. It represents that movement forward, but we're doing it from a heart space, not from, the head space. So some of us might have to fight for our freedom. Some of us might have to, fight for a better life, but we'll be victorious because we just have to remember the Tau Cetians. They had it pretty bad, but they won out in the end. And a lot of it was their skills with fighting and with piloting. They were gifted pilots. One of these days, I'm going to have to do like a little thing on Tau Cetians because I find them fascinating, particularly the bear people. And the bear beings were also pilots, so they also piloted, kind of like Wookiee did in Star Wars. Yeah. So that's.
I like this very much because, I mean, first of all, I just want to address the Gemini thing a little bit. The one thing, and I do love Geminis and I have it in my chart, but I want to say they do have an edge. And when something pisses them off, personally, what I've noticed is they behave in a way, it's very hard often for them to heal relationships after they go off because they do not have a filter. And I don't think they consider all sides of what's going on. They're not the best communicators, right? But they do blast off when they're pissed off. And the thing about the Cancerian and what you're saying about fighting for or having that warrior energy, I like that. I think That bodes well because a lot of people might think, oh man, if I'm all heart, I'll be too soft. But you can have the heart, live from the heart is a lot of potency in the heart. And then if you have the power to know what is right for you, what is right for the collective, what is right for the earth, etc., for moving forward, you can have a lot of power in standing for those things or moving forward for those things and having the Capricorn behind you to accomplish those things, but still have a soft heart.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's a lesson that we can learn from the Taucedians, they loved their children. They wanted the best for them. They didn't want their children to suffer. They didn't want their civilization to suffer. So they had to fight for the freedom of their children and their civilization and take a stand. And they had to go to war with the Zeta, with the Zetas, So sometimes you just have to fight for what's right, and there's no shame in that. It's just a reality of the world that we live in, and what we're moving past. But it is going to be, I think a rocky time, at least until 2028 or 2029 or whenever we have the big event that Bashar and everybody else, including myself, have been talking about. But I do see just kind of like the heavens is kind of showing us the way, like the stars are guiding us, so not just the North Star, but all these other systems, these star systems are guiding us, and they're doing it astrologically and through the Akashic records and also galactically, I always talk about, humanity moving towards becoming part of the galactic family. I still believe that. I still think it's going to happen, just in a few years. I think we're quickly awakening. We're seeing more and more people awaken. Sometimes it may seem like, we're the only star seed in our group, in our area, but that's actually not true. I tell my clients that all the time. You just need to, get your feelers out there, go to these events, go to places that star seeds go to. You'll see all kinds of them, so there's a lot of us awakening. But thank you for allowing me to share this. This has been so much
Absolutely.
fun.
Well, we've got more time. We're going to
Yeah.
take a quick break, folks. This is a quick pause, my friends. I want to invite you deeper into this work. This podcast is sponsored by Dr. Dane here in Access Consciousness. If you'd like to take one of their courses or become a facilitator, go to Dr. Dane here, HEER.com. And I've got something special for you. Get your free starseed report and video. To discover your galactic origins, go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed. That's Debbie with an I and Dashinger with a C. So it's debbiedashinger.com/starseed. And if you're ready for profound personal transformation, you can join my next monthly shamanic healing session. I do these once a month. They are 90 minutes. You just show up in private in a good chair to sit back in, and I take care of the rest. These are very powerful activations, clearings, and they get your souls aligned in a shamanic galactic way. You can sign up now for next month's activation. Go to debbiedashinger.com/healing. Plus, and Deb and I are going to mention this also again at the end, March 2026. We are cruising, sailing to the Mediterranean for the Mystery School at Sea aboard the Celebrity Cruise Line. We're going to Greece. We're going to Turkey. We've got a lot of times we're heading off on land to see some of the ancient sites and go through a mystery school experience. You can sign up now. Again, it's for March 2026. Cabins are already being booked. And that's at Mystery School at Sea, SEA, Mystery School at Sea.com. And finally, if this conversation is sparking something and you share it with just one person who would benefit hearing it, your support by subscribing, commenting, and sharing helps me to reach more star seeds, more light workers around the globe. Thank you in advance. Okay, now we're back with Debbie. Debbie, I'm really curious because I brought this up earlier. I know ancient prophecies from a shamanic point of view, but there are many ancient prophecies out there. Is there a direct link between the planetary transits of today and any ancient prophecies you know of that are stored in the Akashic field?
That's an interesting question. Let me take a look at some of these connectors here. It's interesting that Pegasus, which is the star system of Shiat, in Pegasus, is in Pisces. And we all know that we're moving out of the age of Pisces. Now, the interesting thing about Pegasus, it's part of that part. A part of the galaxy that contains Cassiopeia, Andromeda, Perseus, so all of these systems that are associated with the Perseus myth, where he rescued the princess Andromeda, and a lot of folks love the Andromeda system. They feel a connection with it. And the other interesting thing about Andromeda and Pegasus is these constellations are located very close to Aries and Pisces, which Aries represents the movement forward. It represents spring. It represents new beginnings. And Pisces is the energy that we're leaving behind. It's the ancient energies. It's the old ways. There's, very mystical, magical qualities to Pisces, but I think it's interesting that Pegasus, which represents the winged horse, is moving into Pisces, but also out of Pisces into Aries. So it's again representing, a lot of these ancient, ancient predictions about moving from one age to another. I know the Mayans talked about that. The Peruvians talked about that. The Sumerians talked about that. Everybody talked about it, but we are moving, out of these old age, into something, even greater. And what a beautiful star system Pegasus is. It represents the winged horse, and it represents moving forward, so we are riding on the wings of this beautiful horse into the new age. And you can't get any more poetic than that, in my opinion. But
Yeah, and Pegasus is magical too. I
yeah,
think it
it is.
portends magic and good things ahead.
And we are moving into a magical age. It's like, for a long time now, for thousands of years, I mean, actually hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, magic was looked down upon. Wicca was considered to be demonic. The ways of the wise women and the healers. It was poo-pooed upon by the Christianity and by the Catholic Church and the patriarchal systems. And you mentioned before about the divine feminine. I think this represents the return to the divine feminine, that we are moving into a magical time where, we're going to start seeing elemental beings again. We're going to start, interfacing with unicorns and dragons and, other beautiful elementals, that it's going to become like a real thing for people. It's already a real thing for the little kids. They see them all the time, but for all the rest of us, we're going to start interacting with these magical beings again, like we did in Lyra. It was very in Lyra, it was very typical for humanoids to interact with these elementals. It was part of everyday life, and we are going to return to
I
that.
didn't know that. I didn't know that that was a Lyran thing at
Oh
all.
yeah. Oh yeah, that's where they originated from. And at least in our galaxy was Lyra. Yeah, that's where the elementals came from, particularly the air elementals, but yeah, they came from Lyra. They interspersed to other star systems after the wars, but yeah, they used to help the farmers. They taught the farmers the ways of the plants, because they were, masters at, herbology, so So they were the teachers of plant medicine. That's where plant medicine came from originally, was these elemental beings, because they knew all about the plants. So isn't that beautiful?
That's amazing to me. That's the first time I've heard that. And I feel like there is no bounds to what you know. You're just a wealth of incredible information.
I
Okay.
don't even know where it
Easy.
comes from, girl. It just like downloads in my head or something. I don't know,
No
but
one calls you a channeler except me, but I really have always thought you're a channeler, how you
no,
access
I do think I
info.
channel a lot of this information, but the other system that popped up is, and the last one I'm going to talk about here is the Pleiades. So the Pleiades also is transiting right now. And it's kind of between Taurus and Gemini, which I think is kind of interesting because the Pleiades is located in, actually in the Taurus constellation. But it's kind of hovering between Taurus and Gemini. And Gemini actually also represents teaching. And what I see with this is that the great teachers, the extraterrestrials that used to teach us during the days of Atlantis, the days of Lemuria, Egypt, are going to be returning. They're going to be teaching us again. They're going to be teaching us new ways that are actually the old ways. Another asteroid I want to bring up that didn't show up in my chart, but is actually transiting back to our solar system is Sedna. So Sedna is named after the Inuit god of the seas, a goddess of the sea. So she was a young girl that got married to a bad guy, was very unhappy in her marriage, asked her father to rescue her. Her father, put her in this boat, tried to take off, but her bad husband was pursuing them. He was kind of like a crow being or some sort of being that was supernatural. And so the father got scared and threw Sedna over the boat. So poor Sedna was ho hanging onto the boat and he chopped her fingers off so that she would fall in. It's actually a very kind of sad story, but it has a happy ending. So Sedna, when she sank down into the sea, she didn't drown. She transformed into the into the goddess of the sea, and all of her little fingers that got chopped off turned into dolphins, so they supported her. And so Sedna represents grandmother energy, in Native American culture. So she represents the wise woman. And Sedna, the asteroid that is named after this goddess, actually has this very long elliptical orbit. So it's a very long orbit. And she's been out in the stratosphere for millennia, but now she's returning back to our planets. So she's coming back and she's going to be passing towards Earth. So what this represents is the return to the divine feminine, to the grandmother, the crone energy that has been misaligned, has been, pretty much suppressed, oppressed, for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. And we're going to start revering these the old wise woman, which is, I don't know, I think I'm crone energy myself because I'm an old lady, but yeah, we're going to be moving towards back that. So isn't that a beautiful thing that along with the Pleiades, the Pleiadians are going to come back and start teaching us again, that we're also bringing in the age of the divine feminine. And the Pleiades also represents the return of the divine feminine, so this is just more astrological signs, that things are happening.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I first of all, obviously, I love the idea of divine feminine and the rise. It is about time. I don't know what how that will manifest, but
Yeah, me neither.
it's going to be amazing to be living in part of this time to experience it. And then also the reverence for the crone. It is about time because live in a culture that reveres the youth and
Beauty and youth, beauty and youth.
absolutely, and garner the times, the ancient, beautiful times where the wise ones or the older ones could, who could help, who could teach, who could school. I think that's amazing. And it's very interesting because I was just reading that there's this new thing happening with kids, I'll call it kids, on social media, where they're actually no longer interested. You know how Kim Kardashian started all of this taking selfies with filters, and you had to look a certain way, and then you took a picture and you tweaked how you looked through an app. Now they don't want to do this anymore. Not only are they going to unfiltered photos of themselves and social, but they're actually even taking blurry pictures of themselves. So it looks kind of like an old Polaroid. And I wonder if little signs like this are all funneling into also this no need anymore for how I look, how I show up, or changing how I look despite how I look to the public, and allowing oneself to grow old and really admiring what we've been through to get to this
Exactly.
place in life.
Yeah, there's two women that are celebrities that I think actually embody this wholeheartedly. The first one I actually did a reading for, Pamela Anderson. Like, you
Yes.
notice how she just changed her whole appearance. Like, she was always this big blonde bombshell, just the epitome of every man's fantasy, And then just in the last couple of years, she decided, you know what? I'm getting older. I'm gonna not wear makeup anymore. I'm gonna wear my hair different. I'm gonna wear different clothes, and I'm gonna embrace my aging, And what a brave thing to do. I mean, she's very aligned with Apollonia, which is a star system that's in the Taurus constellation, not part of Pleiades, but somewhere close to the Pleiades. And then the other celebrity I was thinking of is Brooke Shields. I mean, she was a great beauty back in her day. She was in the Calvin Klein ads, and she played in all these movies, and everybody admired her for her beauty. And but she's allowing herself to age naturally. She hasn't done all these tweaks to her face or these fillers or Botox. I mean, she's just allowing herself to age and be who she is, and she's very unapologetic about it. She just, this is who I am. I'm older, I'm not, 20-year-old Brooke Shields anymore. Get over it, So you got to love that, there is this rise of crone energy, that it is being more and more embraced. I still think we have a long ways to go, don't get me wrong, but at least there's some women out there that are embracing their crone energy and unabashedly just being themselves, and it's all good.
It's beautiful. Absolutely. Even Jamie Lee Curtis, who started this 15 plus years ago, when she said to a magazine who wanted to photograph her in her heyday, and she said, I will do it, but there's one contingency. You cannot touch up, and I'm going to be in my underwear. You can't even touch up my body, my face, my hair. And she went out there and had real photos taken of her. Of course, it rocked the world at the time, but she's amazing.
Oh,
She's
yeah.
not going to acquiesce for anybody. And I love this. So thank you, trendsetters out there who are
Yeah.
embracing who you are, how old you are, all of that. So this has been amazing, Deb. Just for folks who are listening, watching right now, do we have signs in our chart that are pivotal right now for the roles in the planetary awakening?
I always encourage people, if they get an opportunity, just to get a galactic astrology chart done, in addition to a galactic Akashic reading, and if you can't get a reading with me, I do have quite a few students on my directory and on my website that you can book readings, and they're amazing too. So no lack of readers out there, but there are signs. Like a lot of placements in Taurus, I notice indicates a connection with the Pleiades. Not just Taurus suns, but also Taurus risings or Taurus moons, or maybe a stellium in Taurus usually indicates a connection with the Pleiades. So that's something that, some people might want to pay attention to with their natal charts. A lot of water signs like Cancer. Now I do see a lot of Cancers that are also connected to the Pleiades and Lyra, but I do see quite a bit of Cancers and Pisces that are very aligned with Sirius, so if you are seeing, quite a few water signs in your chart, you might want to see how you're connected with Sirius A or B, so it could be either or. A lot of air signs like Libras and Aquariuses seem to be aligned with our Andromeda. So Andromeda always seems to pop up for those folks. And this is just kind of a general trend. I'm not saying that every person that's an Aquarius is from Andromeda. Sagittarius is another one of those signs that's very aligned with Andromeda. And then, so Aries is another sign also aligned with Andromeda. But then with Leos, I usually see Leos either aligned with Sirius or with Lyra because of the lions, the lion beings. And then some Leos are very aligned with Arcturus because of, the alignment of Arcturus in our northern skies in the summertime, So we see a lot of Leos coming in that are Arcturians. But I also see a lot of Cancers that are, Arcturian as well. I know Viviane Chave, she's actually a Gemini and she's Arcturian. So you never know. I think Arcturians, we kind of fall across the board, but I do see these trends. I also see a lot of Scorpios aligned with Arcturus, which is kind of interesting. And I do know that my friend Viviane Chave, she has, I think her moon or her rising in Scorpio, which kind of makes sense, So, yeah, I think that explains a lot.
It
So,
does explain a lot, even the Gemini. Thank you for that. That's amazing.
So you might want to pay attention to some of the placements. I am doing a study on this, and I'm going to be showcasing all of my studies in a book that I'm currently working on. So hopefully I'll have that book available next year. But I find it fascinating just these alignments, these astrological alignments with people's star origins, a lot of earth signs. I didn't mention earth signs. A lot of earth signs I see, like Taurus and Virgos are very aligned with the Pleiades usually. Sometimes Virgos, also with Sirius because they're practical, and Capricorns, however, and again Andromeda, which is kind of interesting. Andromeda has all those later signs that are, the more advanced signs, which kind of makes sense. But yeah, there's a lot of correlations. But it's fun to kind of take a look at that. And, if you can't get an astrology, galactic astrology chart done, maybe take a look at your current natal chart and see, okay, yeah, I got a lot of these placements in these signs. What does that mean? Does it mean I'm aligned with, some certain star systems? So.
Beautiful. So much there for everybody. And again, her website is debbiesolaris.com. And Debbie, right here at the end, coming up next, I know you're at a lot of events right now. Let's talk very briefly about the cruise to Greece and Turkey at mysteryschoolatsea.com. What are you looking forward to on the cruise? I know you're speaking on it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Debbie. I know you're speaking there too. So we're doing the cruise together, but I for me, it's a return to my ancestral homelands. So I have genetics from that area. So I'm mostly Italian, but I do have some genetics that Greek genetics, Turkish genetics. So I'm also was Anatolian. That what came up in my 23andMe. So and also connecting with some of my past lives, because I know I had a past life in Sparta in Crete, so I'm excited that we're going to be going to some of these places. And I love that, there's going to be this connection with the Oracle at Delphi, that's a very aligned with the Meropian Pleiadian system, so I'm gonna have a blast putting together like a presentation about all this because I just love the Greek culture. I love that part of the world. You know, that's where my ancestry's from. So I'm excited. Yeah, it's just gonna be great.
I'm excited too. I love that you said that because that has been my download, that the people coming on the cruise, the attendees and us, there's going to be activations of past lives. And that's exactly what I kept getting, that when we go to these sites, when we have these experiences, something's going to happen for people. And I am really there for it. I'm
I
excited
know,
to
me
see what
too.
happens.
Me too. This is
And you
going to
and
be the
I
trip
did
of a
the,
lifetime.
it is. I've never been to either country. I've been to the Mediterranean, but not to either country. So I'm there for it. And you and I did the cruise last year. So it was so beautiful to get to know people, spend time with people like that, see all the presentations because they're all included in the cruise. The food's included, where you sleep at night is included. And when you arrive at a port, you don't even have to bring anything with you except for a hat. Everything's kept for you on the cruise ship. Highly recommended because they are selling the cabins now. All you need to do is put down a deposit, but they will be closing registration. So don't wait. If you're interested, get your room at mysteryschoolatsea.com. The beautiful and amazing channel, Galactic History. Historian Debbie Solaris will be speaking and presenting. Plus, by the way, you get to know people. She mentioned Vivian Chavez. She'll be there.
Yeah, she'll be there too. Yeah.
Yeah, some amazing Geraldine Orozco. There's so many amazing people. Go to the website so you can check out the presenters. And we'll see you there. Debbie, thank you so much for another amazing show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. It's always a pleasure and an honor.
Always, always, you have a home here. And I end today's show with this reminder, as above, so within. When we align our earthly journey with our cosmic origins, we not only remember who we truly are, we step boldly into the future we came here to create. This has been Dare to Dream for curious souls connecting with extraterrestrial life, higher dimensions, and ancient shamanic wisdom. Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation show, leave a comment, and share. Next week on the show, I am speaking with my friend Rob Gauthier. Rob is one of the most respected trans channelers, and he has channeled thousands of extraterrestrial consciousness. Thank you for joining us on the show. Always a pleasure and always an amazing place to learn way more.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashner, your number one transformation conversation.